Welcome to The Hotspot. I'm Dr. Jillian Hotz, your host. I'm the director of the Kids Neuroscience Center at the Miami Project to Cure Paralysis at the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine. Today, we're going to kick off talking about concussion in sports. It's the National Brain Injury Awareness Month, and we have a lot of concussion in Miami-Dade County from our high school athletes. I'm inviting Luke O'Neill, our U Concussion Fellow, in today to discuss the work that we're doing with our high school athletes and concussion in sports. Hi, Luke.
How's it going, Dr. Hotz? I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Luke, I just want to say that we're really excited today to talk to the audience a little bit about our work with high school sports and the work you're doing with concussion.
I'm excited to talk about it, too. I think that it's super interesting stuff, and I think that more people should know about it just because the concussion field is a little bit more niche, and I'm glad that we're kind of spreading light on, you know, some of the information that people might not know right off the bat. And speaking of that, how did you kind of get into this field initially? What prompted you to get into this, maybe either growing up or professionally speaking?
Well, you know, as you know, but maybe the audience doesn't know, I'm Canadian, so I grew up with a lot of good hockey. And, you know, it was just always amazing to me, the quickness of the game and also the injuries that we saw from the game. And then, you know, coming here and being at the University of Miami and being in the hot spot for high school football and football, you know, I was taken to my first high school football game. I don't want to say how long ago.
Okay.
But it was, you know, with Lee Kaplan, who's, you know, the director of sportsman, and Vinny Savo, who's the director of athletics over at UM. And they took me to my first high school football game, and we sort of looked at each other, and they said, well, what do you want to do, a new clinic? And I said, yeah, I think so. I'm going to go back and talk to Dr. Ned and tell him I think we need a new, you know, high school sports-related concussion clinic. And that's what we did about 20-plus years ago.
No, that's awesome. And, I mean, it makes sense, I'm sure, that at the time there probably wasn't anything else existing similar to this. And even nowadays, I know that this clinic is unique. And so was there any protocol when you first watched these games, or were you one of the people that helped kind of create it and create a game plan for how to get these athletes safely back to play?
Actually, that's what it was. It was like the game plan, the treatment plan. There was really nothing much going on. The folks in Pittsburgh had a program at UPMC that, you know, I spoke to them about, and I said, wow, you know, I think we could do this countywide in Miami. There's 36 public high schools, about 10 private. And, you know, 20 plus years ago, the director of athletics at Miami-Dade County, Cheryl Golden, very proactive. You know, we got together and we said, you know, how do we do this better? Because, you know, we're a hotbed for football, and, you know, we see a lot of injury, but, you know, how do we take a systematic approach to this? So we came up with the six-step protocol. And as you know, starting with baseline testing and then retesting and sideline assessment and, you know, coming to the clinic and being treated and evaluated and then, you know, the gradual return to play stages and gradual return to learn. And then, of course, the concussion injury surveillance system, which is really unique and I think sort of one of its kind in the country.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that it's a great return to play program. And just for, you know, the listeners who don't know, I sustained a concussion actually back when I was in high school. I was on the wrestling team. And, you know, that was maybe 10 years ago. But even then, I was living in North Carolina at the time. I was basically told to stay in a dark room and stay off screens and just get rest. And then I basically went from 0 to 100 after a few kind of days or maybe a week and a half. They just said, okay, fully return to everything, you know, start your studies again, you know, go back to using your phone. And it was a little bit overwhelming. It felt like I hadn't used those, you know, muscles, so to say, for a little while. And so it felt very weird. And I like seeing the kids coming to clinic getting kind of gradually, you know, returned, where each week they're doing a little bit more. And I've seen you advise people to even walk their dog around the neighborhood or do, you know, little things like that that are more, you know, fun things, but are still getting you back to play. And I like seeing that it's a more holistic approach to it rather than just saying, okay, everyone gets the same, sit in a dark room, don't use your phone, and after a week and a half, you're going to be totally fine. Because it seems like you really have to tailor this to each, you know, individual person and case.
Yeah, I think that's what's so exciting about this field, that every case is still different and a little bit different. But the basics are that, you know, we want people to start out from a lower level exertional activity and work their way up to a higher level to go back to those contact drills. And then if they're asymptomatic, have no symptoms, then, you know, return to play. So it's usually like a 3 to 4 day period. And then the other thing, you know, a lot of people forget about is the return to learn, right? Because, you know, if you're having difficulty in class, paying attention, concentrating, remember things, focusing, being able to, you know, get your work done on time, take tests, and your grades have, you know, maintained, then, you know, you're okay. But a lot of, you know, student athletes that we see lag behind in some of these areas, whether it's, you know, they come in and feel foggy, or they're still having periods of, you know, difficulty focusing, their processing speed. You know, these are all things that we tease out when they come to our clinic or, you know, a specialized concussion clinic. And this is very important to get right.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also kind of going off of that, I really enjoy seeing some of the more objective measures of kind of concussion and injury. We have something specifically called an impact test that athletes have to take when they start off their high school career. And it establishes a baseline for them. And then after they're hit, they take it again. And then we can compare the scores. So that way, if anyone ever says, oh, well, you know, kids kind of hit their heads all the time and they're always like, you know, having little, you know, collisions and such, this is a way that we can show that, no, their kind of processing speed is down. Their, you know, math skills or, you know, reading skills are down. And I like that we have the, you know, subjective view of physicians and, you know, the trainers looking at the kids and seeing if they're off. And then also we have these objective measures, kind of like, you know, symptom scores. And I was wondering, could you go into a little bit more about, you know, the additional steps that we have? Because we have the athlete getting injured, we have them doing a baseline testing, and then what are the other steps that they take to return back to play?
Right. So we do an annual workshop.
Okay.
For athletic trainers, athletic directors, coaches, and even nurses some years, to educate them about the latest management in concussion, which I think gives a standard educational profile of what we want our community to understand, especially those close to the athlete. And then from there, the athletic trainers are really our gatekeepers. They're the ones that here in Miami-Dade County are very fortunate to be there with the athletes on a daily basis at the high school level to really be able to manage their concussion and make those decisions. Is this something that has to go to an emergency room, or can they, you know, come and wait to come to a clinic visit, you know, a couple days a week? Or, you know, is this something that needs to be seen, as I said, emergently and call 911. So, you know, they're trained. They're our eyes and ears out on this field, out on the, you know, whether it's a swimming pool and they're playing water polo. We see a lot of cheerleaders, wrestlers, basketball players, soccer players. So, you know, they're out in all these areas. The other thing I tell parents is that why would you drop your child off at a swimming pool that doesn't have a certified lifeguard? Parents wouldn't do that.
No, of course not.
Right? So why would they drop their child off or let their child participate in a sport on a football field, you know, a hockey arena, a soccer field, basketball court, without knowing whether that coach or the person managing the program has any certification or understanding of, you know, injury and concussion in sports? And these are the questions that parents need to ask. because I think that also helps with the management. And then, you know, the next thing is signs and symptoms, right? Like, what are we looking for? So we're looking for somebody who, you know, may look dazed, may look confused, may be walking off the field in the wrong way, may, you know, start holding their head, may not be able to get up right away, may be stumbling. I mean, these are all the things that you look for. And then the complaints you hear are headache and dizziness and nauseousness and feeling foggy and not able to focus or concentrate. Lights bother them. Noise bothers them. They may be a personality change. So, you know, they may have visual issues, double vision, blurry vision. They may have ringing in their ear. So, you know, all of these different symptoms that are reported. And usually parents know that, you know, they know their children. You hope. So they look at them after a practice and, you know, if they're holding their head or saying that they don't feel right, then, you know, it's really the parent to make that call of, you know, do I take them to their family doctor? Do I call the trainer right away? Do I have to get them to the emergency room? And I think, you know, we like to err on the side of making sure that the athlete is fine.
Yeah, definitely on the side of caution.
You know, so it's always better to take a look at these things and say, wow, you know what, you're going to be fine in a few days. And, you know, you can get back to play. And it's all the reassurance also that's very important.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that listeners would be very happy to hear all that. And hopefully hearing about the training that the athletic trainers go through in terms of being able to identify the concussions and the symptoms, I think should give people a little bit of peace of mind. But just in case parents have some additional questions about, you know, signs and symptoms to look out for, what would be the few things that, you know, should kind of trigger alarm bells in someone's head? When is it time to take your kid to the emergency room or call 911 versus when is it something that's a normal symptom that the next day they can go see their doctor? What should parents be looking out for just so they can feel a little bit more, you know, kind of peace of mind being aware of these things?
Perfect example today in the clinic. You know, a parent said to me, well, you know, the trainer called and they said that they were vomiting and I should come pick them up. And I said, okay, that's interesting. And she said, as soon as I got them in the car, I went to the closest emergency room. And
good,
I said,
good.
Excellent. I said, that's the thing to do. That, you know, if your child's vomiting, if they're non-responsive, if they're complaining of a really, really bad headache, if, you know, they're having a lot of visual issues, seeing double, blurry, these are things that should be taking you right to the emergency room.
Gotcha. No, I think that those are, you know, worthwhile things to know. And I like kind of having, you know, more information. So I'm sure other people appreciate knowing the, you know, kind of red flag symptoms versus just the normal things that come with a concussion, especially when it's something that, you know, we don't talk about very often. It's not the most kind of glamorized, you know, injury or illness that you can get. So I feel like we're still, as a general public, lagging behind a little bit on what to do just in terms of, you know, for example, me and a lot of friends, our only knowledge on it is, oh, just don't let someone fall asleep after they've been hit in the head. Just keep them awake as long as possible. And then, you know, a few days later, they'll probably be fine. Is this, you know, still kind of accepted treatment, or is that more, you know, from when people weren't as aware of what to do?
Well, I think, you know, we've grown a long way as a field, right? And like, you're hoping those kind of cases end up in an emergency room now, right?
Okay.
Parent takes your child to an emergency room. And then the emergency doctor makes that call of, you know, whether the person has to be admitted or they can go home. And, you know, some parents do watch their children and wake them up just to make sure that they're doing okay within the first 24 hours. And then, you know, others feel that after being seen in the emergency room and getting recommendations from them that, you know, things are fine. So I think, you know, it depends on a case-by-case basis. You know, the other thing also is that here in Dade County and also Palm Beach County, we have the program. We do a lot of education with the athletic trainers and athletic directors before the season, and they also have our six-step protocol, is that, you know, the more that we do this and the more that we educate, it's like you tell two friends and they tell two friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of these kids play club sports. So not only do they play in the public high schools, but they also play in club. So it's like those kids that now play club that say to the club people, listen, you know, you should have these protocols. We have those in my high school. And so, you know, hopefully some more of these clubs will be also, you know, putting together protocols and management, which will be better.
Yeah. And additionally, just kind of a shout out to all of our trainers, because I know that, you know, they go to great efforts to remain educated on this. And I know that we have several who go above and beyond and are educating, you know, new trainers coming in and who are always, you know, great on getting the surveillance reports back to us and kind of making sure that the athletes are safely returned to play. Because just as much as the athletes themselves are spreading this around, the trainers are their own kind of personal network of education and support. And I wanted to say thank you to them, just because a lot of my job involves kind of interfacing with them and making sure that, you know, we have an open line of communication. So thank you for that. I also wanted to shout out the Miami Dolphins Foundation, because they partially fund the Kids Neuroscience Center's concussion program. And without them, we wouldn't be able to see and help all of the student athletes that we do. So once again, thank you to them. Now, I have another question for you, and this one is a little bit more polarizing, and I know it doesn't have a true answer depending on who you are. So in terms of children's sports, and especially with, you know, these concussions and other injuries that kids can sustain, do you think that it's a reason not to let children play in sports, or what's kind of your view on that as someone who sees this each and every day?
So, you know, it's a tough question, and it's not a yes or a no. As I said before, educate as many people as you possibly can and make sure they're certified and understand the, you know, latest management and treatment for concussion. But I think the other side of the coin is that team sports, especially team sports, have so many wonderful things that it gives a child. The ability for them to be part of a team, to understand how to work as a team, sharing, learning, skill level. I think like those things you don't really get in anything else that you do. And so I'm very big on allowing kids to play these team sports. The other side of the coin is, well, how do we do this more safely? And so I think that, you know, every year we're developing better protocols, better policies, especially like with soccer now, with heading the ball. You have to be bigger than and older than a U12 to start, you know, heading a ball and practice and using it in a game, which I think is like a good rule. We're talking more about flag football for younger children, especially like youth age and like early high school, maybe. You know, the skill development should be in more flag football and then be able to put helmets on, you know, as they become an older adolescent. You know, because we worry about brain development. We worry about, you know, learning basic skills at the specific milestone levels. And, you know, we don't want multiple hits to a developing brain, right?
Of course not, no.
I really think that... you know, I'm a very optimistic, positive person. And I think that putting safeguards around these contact sports at younger ages as much as we can, I think, you know, that's the way we have to go.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think that team sports are one of the greatest kind of learning and bonding experiences that adolescents can have. And I fully agree that as long as we have the framework of kind of safety and a contingency plan set up, that's, you know, all we can do. But it's not reason to avoid doing something that has so many benefits for these kids. But I do know that that is a very kind of polarizing topic. So I just wanted to bring it up and get your opinion on that. And I appreciate you kind of sharing your thoughts there.
It's been great talking to you, Luke. And I think next month we may move into talking maybe about biking in Miami-Dade County and something about micro-mobility. We've gotten really good at putting together these pop-up protected bike lanes, and maybe we'll talk to one of our bike safe people.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Hotz. I appreciate it. And thank you all, the listeners, as well.
Thanks for listening to The Hot Spot. Stay tuned and stay safe.